Good morning. Well, we are continuing a short sermon series before we move into Lent, dealing with the beginning of John's Gospel. So if you would turn with me, I'm going to begin reading our passage found in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Feel free to read along in your order of worship or just listen as I read. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This is God's word that's given for our good. Let me pray for us. Father in heaven, we ask that you would be present with us, that the life that you give us through your word would shine, would pour into our hearts, would push back the darkness that we have. So come, be our teacher, speak to us in your grace, in Christ's name. Amen. Well, if you spend time with my family during Christmas, one of the things that you will come to accept is that we often watch old home videos and share old stories. To do this, we dust off the old VCR, we fire it up, and we put in the old VHS tapes that we inevitably have to rewind. And my nephews, because we have to do that, always look puzzled and confused. Why do you have to rewind VHS tapes? We're old school, you know. Well, the story I want to share to you is not on a video, but it is one of the stories that frequently gets shared about me. And that story is about the time that I got lost in the mall when I was 3 years old. Now, I should say, I don't remember this at all. I have no recollection. And I wonder if that is because it's because I was too young, or that this experience was far less traumatic for me than for my parents. But they certainly remember it, and they like to talk about it. But the story goes is that I went shopping with my dad and my stepmom around Christmas time. And I'm told that they just bought me a drink at the store in the mall. And as I was walking with them, drinking my drink, we went into a particular clothing store. And in the circumstance that I'm sure is every parent's nightmare, they said that they turned away for just 1 second, and I was gone. At first, they thought I might be hiding in the clothes racks, you know, those old ones that are easy to climb into and kind of run around in. Nope, wasn't there. They searched other places in the store, and after a while, they became more desperate and panicked. They didn't see me anywhere. I began to feel that anxiety and that panic that often, I'm sure, is every parent's nightmare. But my dad, he decided, you know, since we're not clearly finding him in the store, I'm going to check outside the storefront. So he walked out there, and as most malls are, there's a bunch of stores kind of surrounding it, and you're kind of in this open area. And then he looked over, and he saw that the store right next to this was an arcade. Now, I don't know why he decided to go there first, instead of the other stores to look around for me. But I'm sure it has something to do with the fact that he knows me, and I like to play video games when I was a kid. But sure enough, he found me sitting in the arcade, sitting and driving in one of those old-school Atari racing games, oblivious to the fact that I was missing or that people were searching for me. That my parents were completely and wholly invested in finding me. It was their singular purpose in those terrifying moments. They had a stake in my well-being. So they did what any parent would do in that moment. They went out searching and looking. Now I want to suggest to you that John is saying something similar. That our text this morning, John's first words in his gospel, begin much differently than other gospel stories. You see, in John, there are no magi or shepherds appearing. There's no angelic visitation announcing the birth of a son. Nor is there a heavenly host singing and praising. Instead, John begins his gospel by saying four things about the Word. And here are the four things that he says. He says that the Word is God, that he was in the beginning, that all things were made through him, and that he is life. And I'll be honest, preaching about these four things, it seems a bit overwhelming, right? Overwhelming in the best possible way because God's people have read and listened to these four things for almost 2,000 years and still have not gotten to the bottom of them. But this morning, I just want to suggest one thing that these four things conspire together to tell us loud and clear. And here is that one thing, that Jesus has a stake in our good. That is why there are the gospel stories of Jesus' birth. That's why God was out looking. Jesus made this place, this creation that we live our lives in every day. And it is very good to him, and he loves it. Jesus made you and me, and we are very good to him. And so we are then the objects of his fierce love. And John wants us to know that if we want to begin to understand what the incarnation is really all about, we need to start by thinking about a God who has an immeasurable stake in the good of this world, and especially of his children who are in it. His children who are made in his image. If you want to know what Jesus becoming flesh, being born like one of us, if you want to know what that is all about, you have to begin by remembering that this whole thing was triggered for our good. And Jesus has a stake in your good and in mine. Otherwise, if you think about it, it doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, why would Jesus leave his Father's side? Why would he leave the glory that was there? Why would he leave the unimaginable and ever-present love that was there at his Father's side? Why would he lay all of that aside? Why would he walk in this dark world meeting opposition and accusation in every place and among even those who were closest to him? I mean, why would he have any desire to trade words with foolishly self-righteous people? Why would he risk his already thin and questionable reputation by hanging out with liars and cheats and prostitutes? I mean, why would he submit to a rigged trial and abuse? And why would he let himself be hanged on a cross where thugs could mock him? Why, as John goes on to say, would Jesus be born into a world that did not know him and did not want him? Why would the world, would the Word who made all things and to which nothing exists allow this to happen? Well, we start to peer into these questions. It's not for the faint of heart. In one sense, it makes no sense. It could be the most tragic misstep that we can imagine. Unless, of course, there's something else going on. Unless somehow this was not lost on Jesus. Unless he was very aware of the reception that he would receive. Unless he knew how messed up this world was and how lost his children were. And of course, that is exactly why he entered into this world. Because this is his world and we are his people. For John, Jesus is the Word who was there from the very beginning. Through him all things were made, the one who contained and contains life and light. One author writes that the Word challenged the darkness before creation and now challenges the darkness that is found tragically within creation itself. That the Word is bringing into being the new creation in which God says once more, as he did in Genesis, let there be light. And how does this happen? Well, for John, life and light are not simply abstractions. They're not simply images or metaphors, but are flesh and blood realities that play out when people encounter the true life of Jesus. You see, in John, it was the life that Jesus brings that raises Lazarus from the dead. And it was the light that he brings that gives light to blind eyes. I mean, this is why Jesus comes, to bring new creation life to this world. So nothing could have kept him away, or as John puts it, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. So here's what this means for people like you and me this morning. Here's what this means. When we make our way through this broken city, through our neighborhood, and among those who live right next to us, we need to remember that Jesus has a stake in them. He made them, and they are very good to him, and he loves them. He loves all our children, and he sees and loves our children who are consistently caught up in a cycle of violence and death in our city. He loves those who face the challenge of preserving peace and order in our city, even those who use their power to create more darkness and pain. He loves the untouchables, those without homes. He loves those seeking belonging in their sexual identity. He loves those of us graced with the advantages of education and race, of status. And he loves those of us without these privileges. Jesus has a stake in all of us. And the light, it shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Those places are not forgotten. Those places are not neglected. Those places are not overlooked or thrown away. They are the very places that Jesus came to dispel the darkness from. And even though it seems unlikely to us, and even though at times it may seem unbelievable to us, his preferred method to dispel the darkness is through you and me. I mean, the grace that begins at Jesus' incarnation, the grace that is secured at his resurrection and his ascension, means that we now share in the stake that Jesus has in this world. His loves are our loves. His light, John says, is the light of men and has become our life. He says later in chapter 1 that all who receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And so, church, if that is who you are, if that is who we are as followers of Christ, then we can know for sure that we have been made a part of God's family, of God's children, whose life it is to look and act like Jesus. Our life is turn back the darkness through both speaking and acting out the gospel wherever we are. And a faithful response to Jesus, to Jesus' incarnation, it requires that the church to take on the calling of Jesus with glad hearts. But here's another thing that this means for people like us. The sadness that you feel at the loss of someone you love, but the uncertainty you feel about the health of someone who is near to you, Jesus has a stake in that. The pain of that broken relationship you are pretty sure will never mend, Jesus has a stake in it. The addiction that batters you, that you struggle with and controls you every single day of your life, Jesus has a stake in it. The darkness that you feel because you have been abused, listen to me. Jesus has a stake in that. The trust you are worried has been lost in your marriage, or the sense that you feel cheated because you are still single, Jesus has a stake in that. These two are the dark places that Jesus came to dispel. And church, we should hear that these are not unknown to him, that they are not overlooked by him, that they are not forgotten by him. He came to find and to meet you in those places. And one of the ways we can respond to Jesus is to let him into those places. Not just say it would be good if Jesus came and he entered into those things, but to completely let him into those dark and broken down places full of pain and struggle and darkness so that he can do his work of dispelling the darkness. For some of us, this may mean actually believing for the first time that this is who Jesus is and what he came for. For some of us, this will mean starting with genuine repentance around our own darkness. For some of us, that will mean talking with someone we trust about that darkness and asking for their prayer and for their help. And for some of us, it will mean opening up our hands and admitting that we are part of the problem. And for some of us, letting Jesus in to do the work of dispelling darkness will mean that we are going to take a hit. We're going to absorb the cost, no matter how great. Let Jesus into those places, but do so with John's words singing in your ears. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light, it shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, would your beautiful and gracious love, full of life and light, would it shine brightly into our darkness? Would it shine brightly into the darkness of this world? And God, would you enable us to be a light and a life in our neighborhood, amongst our families, and God, even just before you, that we can come honestly and with faith and repentance, embrace the life that you give us. In Jesus' name, amen.